Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Spilling the Tea Leaves podcast with Rachel and Michelle. You are here with me, Rachel. I am an animal spirit guide intuitive, and I do readings both for humans and now apparently with animals, which we'll chat about in a minute. That's kind of new, and it's exciting to progress spiritually in that way. And I have with me Michelle.
Hello. I am Michelle. I am a crystal Reiki master, and you can find me at rememberlovejewelry.com, and you can also find me on Instagram at rememberlove. And Rachel, I don't think you gave your website.
Totally forgot. Was too excited about the animal, the actual incarnate animal readings. So I am on Instagram at cottage on Wolf Lane. And my website is still under construction, so probably best on Insta. And our topic for today is actually putting yourself out there as a spiritual person, putting yourself out there as a insert your own label here. And it's interesting because Michelle and I are kind of constantly going through this process. And as I mentioned a bit ago, even with me, this is all really a new and exciting part of my journey too. So we wanted to speak with everyone today about what that feels like and what form that takes, and how do you talk to your family about that? What happens when you do start putting yourself out there and navigating that aspect of our spirituality? Michelle's been
out of the spirit closet.
It's true. It's, and I've been struggling actually a bit with using the term coming out, because I certainly, you know, Michelle and I try to be very sensitive about appropriating. Absolutely. and not stepping on the toes of other groups of people who have similar types of processes, but who own their experience in a way that we can never understand. Absolutely. So while there are a lot of similarities, and certainly we may use that term, I know that both of us want to just put it out there that we do not mean for this to in any way step on the experiences or the toes rather of people who have come out in other types of ways.
Thank you for clarifying that, not in a way to overstep our boundaries, or we don't know what that experience is like, and we would never pretend to know. We just want, it's a familiar expression for many of us when we say we are. It's a way of saying we are exposing or sort of revealing who we are. And it's scary. It's not as scary as coming out, but it's we're revealing who we are to people, and our fear is not being accepted for who we choose to or who we are deep down inside. So yeah, thank you for clarifying that, Rachel.
Yeah. But it can be quite scary, for lack of any mm-hmm. other way to put it. Especially for those of us who have family members or friends who don't understand, or worse, who can be actively, against the type of path that we're on. So there are lots of different layers and levels, And then you get into questions of how much of yourself you want to put out there, because it calls into question too sort of your boundaries and what you want to keep for yourself. A lot of witches, for example, keep what's called a book of shadows or a grimoire, which has information on spells and different crystals and herbs and all of the tools and the things that they may have learned throughout their experience. And some are exceptionally protective, like no other human can set eyes on this book, because it is such a private practice. And then mm-hmm. there are those of us who are very much out there, and not only from a perspective of wanting to share, but just from a perspective of really authentically being who we are to the, you know, I think about the the Spinal Tap, you know, like just turn it up to 11. Like, this is me turned up to 11. So
let's go.
Right. Like, you know, so it's not only do you consider how much of yourself you want to put out there, but then there's the consideration about how you want to move forward with your family and people in your community and people globally. You know, so it's an interesting path to navigate. And we haven't even gotten into questions of where you are located geographically or within, you know, some countries are totally fine with people who behave in whatever way they want. Some communities, countries, faiths are not. I can't believe it's 2019 and I'm still scrolling through Reddit and there are places that are actively persecuting people for things that to me are just mind-bogglingly no one else's business, for lack of any other way to put it.
And how do you navigate when you live in a country it's looked down upon, it's not accepted because it's against their whatever their beliefs are, their religion? Like, how do you navigate even telling yourself, this is what my thought system is, this is what my belief system is? Like, how do you even get to that point where there's a guilt associated with it as well, unfortunately, aside from you may know that you're going to get guilt from family or friends or your neighbors or people at some point don't want to associate with you, which has happened to me several times when I tell people, oh, I'm a crystal Reiki master. You could see it in their face where they're just like, oh, well, is that against my belief system? And even if you try to explain, no, it's, you know, it's an energy-based healing, you're working with tools, they still do not get it. I've lost friends, I've lost people where they're just like, well, you know, that doesn't really vibe with me and I will never speak to them again. Not my choice. So it's how do you maneuver that? How do you handle that? How do you say, okay, this is who I am, take it or leave it, and then accept, I don't want to use the word consequences, but accept the repercussions? No, that's also such a heavy word.
Accept, and I think a lot of it is accepting that even for those of us, you know, and there are people who have ideas, you know, we'll talk later, I'm sure, about things like the law of attraction and the, you know, Abraham and, you know, sort of choosing one's own destiny and choosing these things. You know, but I think that there is a lot to be acknowledged in that there comes a time where you have to acknowledge that you can come here and put yourself out there, but then you have to either let things go or sort of in a way accept other people's understanding of you is their own. It's not even necessarily for you to pick up or to play with energetically. There's no way that anyone even has the time of day, much less the emotional and spiritual fortitude to handle every other human being or, you know, other sentient beings' ideas of who they are. And that's fine when it's the doofus at the grocery store behind you who's had a bad day and is taking it out on you. I mean, like, that's one thing, but it's quite another matter when it is your beloved teacher who suddenly finds out that you are a crystal healer, or your parent who finds out that you know, have read such and such book and are exploring that. It's really painful. So then it opens up a path for us, I think, to really decide, and there's no right or wrong answers. Everyone's path is their path.
No.
But it is interesting whether we choose in any moment to, and a lot of times it's simply protective. So whether we choose in any moment to sort of go deeper into the identity that is built for us to a certain extent and continue to cocoon there until we're ready to emerge, or whether we listen a bit more closely to the fortitude of our higher self and say, you know what, for better or worse, I am called in this moment to explore crystal healing. I am called in this time to look at some other religious texts that you, Uncle Joe, may or may not agree with. And that's big time stuff, because humans are social and we are pack animals. And and when someone who has been in your pack feels so desperately about something that you're doing and feels the need to tell you that it is right or wrong, it can be just excruciating.
Can you tell us a little bit about your story, like how you have managed, or how you have lived your life as a spiritual person? Like, do you feel like you are pretty open to people about it? Are you still reserved in some aspects? Do you tell like your new friend? You don't tell your, like, how are you handling it?
I mean, there was definitely, especially when I was younger, again, out of safety, out of a necessity to be secure within my pack as a young person. Mm-hmm. My tarot cards and things were absolutely hidden under the bed. I think my mom probably knew. My dad would get upset when I dyed my hair. I mean, this man could not handle.
He didn't like change. He's like, nope, that's not right. Nope,
no, nope. I actually made an interesting executive decision. It might have been my higher self. I'm still not sure quite what happened, but I've recently started doing some readings at a store. I recently moved a few months ago. For those of you who. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm living in a new place, and so I very much put myself out there recently in a way that I have never done before, including with this podcast. And I don't know what came over me. I'm pretty sure my higher self was just messing with me that day, and I was Skyping with my parents and said, "Hey, so I'm going to be doing some spirit animal and tarot readings at this local store in town, and my." You know, and I'm a nearly 40-year-old woman, right? It's not like, I mean, we are like, this is we're beyond like hiding stuff under my bed when I was a teenager, you know. And my dad said, goes, "Well, keep that crazy away from your kids, will ya?" And you know, and it was just like, man, I was an 8-year-old again, being scolded for whatever, you know. It's it was hard. It's hard, you know, and you know, so there've, and then just with people, occasionally I'll kind of, I like to use astrology, because astrology is a sort of everybody, like, it's out there, it's in the newspaper, it's kind of like, you know, and if somebody bites, then cool, they're into it. And then if not, I can just play it off like, you know, like I still pass for pretty normal. So it's like, oh, little Leo's an Aquarius, huh? Like, I'm at school talking to the other moms, you know, and if somebody's like, oh, yeah, I guess he's, you know, he's a July birthday,
like,
you know, or if they're like, oh yeah, but he's an Aquarius rising. And it's like, oh, I found my people, you know? So it's kind of, you know,
that's
like
your litmus test.
Right. So, you know, but it's, I don't know how else to put it other than it is scary. I have come to a place where I I don't know how else to say this. And this is totally meant to be encouraging. Ready? You just have to be willing to get hurt. I don't know how else to say it.
It's true though. It's true.
Do you think that's been similar for you? Like you have to be more willing to be yourself than to be comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I have like my varying degrees of how much I share. For example, my mother has some idea of what I do. Like she is totally into the smudging and she'll ask for Palo Santo. And she sometimes sees things where she's like, oh God, it was so weird because somebody pulled the blanket off the bed, but it must have been like the dog or something. Convince herself that it's something else, but my mom isn't intuitive and she's had abilities as a kid. She wants to admit that, which is fine. That's her journey. That's what she's going through. My grandmother, for example, has no fiddling clue what I do because she would completely disown me and would never speak to me again. So I don't, she's almost 90. I'm not going to expose her. I'm not going to give her a heart attack or have her worry that I am not getting it into heaven before her time, right? With people or with strangers, when they ask me what I do, I kind of like you have your astrology, which is what it's a good idea. I've done it a couple of times. I give them like a varying degree, right? So I go, okay, so how deep, my first response is, how deep do you want me to go? And I know either this friend is going to be somebody that I can connect to, or it's somebody that I probably probably somebody that wouldn't necessarily understand me.
Okay.
I would like people that have those deep conversations. I don't want a superficial weather. How was your day at the bank? Well, yes, it is necessary for humans to have those conversations on a daily. For me, it's not something that I'm just like, oh God, yeah, I wish I can talk to Susie about her brand new shoes, because more than likely, I don't care. So right. I asked them, like, how do you want me to go? And sometimes they'll be like, well, what is it that you do? Like, it's a hesitant shot. I make jewelry. Oh, okay. What kind of jewelry? All right, we're going to learn. I make jewelry with gemstones and crystal. The word crystals is kind of usually a giveaway for most people, because okay. People know jewelry has gemstones or crystals most of the time, so there's no need to say crystals, right? And if they say, oh, well, what kind of crystals? Well, I usually, crystals have, it is believed crystals have energy, so I'll do like amethyst for your third eye chakra or stuff like that. And if they say, oh, okay, that's cool, and they stop me, then I know that's definitely not into right. them, and now stop.
You lost me at chakra. Like,
yeah. Once I say chakra, they're like their brain shuts down. Okay, cool. We don't have to talk about that. It's fine. How's your banking job? Which is, there's nothing wrong with the banking job, by the way. Just that's the example that I'm using. If they ask me more, like, oh, how did you get into that, or like, what are crystals, what's a chakra, and they ask me no more, then I'll share more. And the more questions they ask, the deeper I will go. If at some point they're like, oh my God, that's the craziest shit I've ever, sorry, the craziest thing I've ever heard, I'll just leave it and we'll move on to the next person. If they're like really into it, I've had people ask me for sessions. They're like, oh, I would love a crystal Reiki session or a crystal reading or something. Then great, well, we can do that. That could be a way into it. I had one lady tell me, she literally looked at me in the eye. She's like, oh, that is so stupid. Okay. Cool beans. Well, how do you respond to that, though? Like, okay. Great.
How did you? Like, what did you say?
I just looked at her like, okay. I just said, okay. I don't know what else to say. And my other friend, who has had readings for her mom dying, like, she's into it. She's like, oh, no, I think it's great. I love that stuff. And she just kind of turned around and like brushed it off. But it was such like a jarring statement, like, oh, that is so stupid. Okay. I mean, sure. All right. I mean, but you have to take it, right? You don't necessarily, you don't, I'm not going to get combative with her or try to defend myself with her. No. That's just not her journey. It's not, and it's not her belief. It's not with her. She's not vibing with her. And I respect that. That's fine. And on top of that, the other layer, Rachel, we live near.
You should have been like, sweetheart, who hurt you?
I know, right? Like, what? Who hurt you in your past? Why do you hate me so much? It's fine. It's totally fine. So Rachel and I used to live nearby each other, and we lived in an area that is not very accepting of.
No.
I'm not going to say religion, but it's not our spiritual practices, right? It's not a divination or that we use. We cannot readily go purchase it because it just doesn't exist here. It's impossible. So that's the other layer. Like, who is totally cool with you? Who is going to completely ruin your reputation in this very, very moment?
You know, and right? It's funny too. So having recently moved here and meeting people within, you know, my people. So I've been meeting my people and they've been asking me what it was like before, you know, because here I'm able to be much more open about my spiritual practices and I can actually go to a shop that's open on a store and do readings. And it's a thing, you know. People may not agree with it. People may think I'm, to use Michelle's person's words, you know, stupid. However, I can do it without fear of literal persecution. However, it was interesting when Michelle and I met. It was like, to a certain extent, there was sort of a code. So I have a son, yes, and a daughter. My daughter is named after a goddess, and let's call her, for the sake of this call, Diana. So that's not her name, but my daughter is named after what, just an incredibly powerful goddess. No pressure, daughter. No so pressure, strong, daughter. Just, you know, right. So, right. So, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, Diana.
You have a lot to talk to.
So Michelle and I happened to be situated next to each other on the bench at the playground, watching the little ones play, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know, I was probably yelling at her. I was like, Diana, get over here. Like, and Michelle almost in a whisper said, oh, Diana, that's a powerful name. And it was like, oh, she gets it. And I'm like, yes. I was like, yes, it is. We should have coffee. But seriously, like, because everyone else is like, oh, you know, like, maybe they would comment and say that's an unusual name, or like, oh, what a pretty name, or oh, does she go by Di? I mean, it's not like no one had ever mentioned it before, but like, you could instantly tell that Michelle like got it. And it was like, you know, and then she opened her coat. She's like, I have crystals. You want to buy crystals?
I think I showed you, like, look at all the crystals. What can I give you? It's like a crystal dealer. Oh, God.
No, but it was, I mean, and it's, I mean,
it was great, though, but it's still, yeah.
Yeah, because you cannot always, and if you're, you know, if you grew up in a Baptist church in wherever in the South, in the United States, or in a stringently Catholic family in the Philippines, I don't care where you are, there are communities where these things are not allowed. And whether it's literal persecution or just emotional persecution, you know, and you sometimes have to very carefully find your people. And it will always be one of my favorite moments of my, not only my spiritual path, but my friendship with Michelle. But then, you know, just a reminder of how lucky we are to have found each other in those circumstances. And Michelle helped me grow so much spiritually, and, you know, and I'm just really lucky to have tripped and fallen into a relationship with her in that way. you know, because there wasn't a place to go and talk about those things. I mean, back when I lived in Phoenix, Arizona, and I was attending a Unitarian Universalist church, I think that's probably one of the closest I've gotten to having a community. Oh, it was amazing. They used to have services on like the solstices and the equinoxes, and it was totally come as you are.
Your parents were against like your search for a spiritual path, and you're going to like, oh, is this when you were older?
This was there. Yeah, this was
okay. Sorry.
So my life, I no longer live in the United States. So born and raised in the U.S. So I was born and raised in Ohio. And then as an adult, I ended up later in Phoenix, Arizona. And so I like to say, you know, Ohio by birth, Arizona by choice. Not that there aren't amazing, lovely, spiritual, incredible communities in Ohio. Yeah, I'm proud to be an Ohioan, but I didn't find what I was looking for in Ohio. I'm no longer there. So anyway, no shade. I just don't like snow, honestly.
I'm gonna buy one of those old churches.
Oh, I know.
Like a dime a dozen. Well, one of the things that I also wanted to talk about real quick, because I feel like we're sounding, it's like it's all doom and gloom. Not like, yes, you are gonna find those people who are, they might not be completely against it, but they're probably say, well, this is not really the type of person that I want to hang out with, or, oh my God, she's worshiping the devil and she drives like her other cars a broomstick. Like there are a lot of perceived about what a person that are not necessarily like Rachel mentioned, when you do put yourself out there, you have the opportunity to find your tribe, to find your that one friend that you can absolutely go to the beach and do a full moon ritual, that friend who you guys are exchanging smudge sticks and Palo Santo and crystals like it's, you know, the most illegal thing in the world. So you do, the payoff is big when you do find somebody who understands you, because we are out there. I would have never in a million years thought somebody like Rachel existed here. Ever. I would have never imagined, and Rachel and I would have probably never crossed paths if we were not all stuck in the same, not stuck, but living in the same obscure place, you know, on the other side of the planet. Like we probably would have never had the opportunity to meet. So when you do put yourself out there, as much as you want to put yourself out there, the payoff is huge when you find that person that you can absolutely connect with, or group of people. Maybe that person already put themselves out there enough where she has her group, her coven, or whatever you want to call it. So if you are ready to put yourself out there, if you are ready to say, this is what I do, whatever label you want to put on yourself, because that's a whole other discussion. Like what do you put on a business card?
Ooh.
Like what label?
Yeah.
Right? Like what do you call yourself? What is a one or two word description of what you do or who you are, that when people meet you or you hand them that business card, they know who you are or how you want to be perceived as, I guess.
Okay. Actually, and that is
I still struggle with that. That's a huge struggle.
That is the perfect place, actually. So we're going to take a quick break. And then when we pick it back up, we're going to talk about your elevator speech and the Woo-hoo. Awesomely positive aspects of putting yourself out there.
Perfect. We'll be right back. So welcome back, everybody. And where did we leave off?
We were chatting a bit about your blurb, your who am I in a spiritual nutshell. And then also we wanted to end it on a more upbeat note than we left it. We've been chatting a bit about cutting people out of your life that don't, you know, that, but there's actually so much more to be gained when you start really putting yourself out there. But it is kind of a funny little thing. I've actually started calling myself a stay-at-home witch. I mean, like, yes, it's
See, and, like, I and that label witch for me is not, and I've been called a witch, but it's not a label that necessarily describes me.
Okay.
Yeah, it's weird because it's some little history for everybody. When the Spanish came into Latin America, a lot of the healers within the tribes, or a lot of the healers in the community, were women. They were medicine women. They were shaman. And when the Spanish came in and took over, these women who were medicine, they were what healed the community. If something happened to somebody, they had the herbs, they knew the techniques. When the Spanish came in, they labeled these women as witches.
Yeah.
And it was such a negative, heavy term that a lot of these healers within the community were completely stripped of their position in society and were pushed away into, like, the dark corners of the community just from the word witch. So yeah. For me, that word, again, there's nothing wrong. It's just a word. B, a lot of people use it to describe themselves, and it's a word that is okay to use. It's not a derogatory term. But for the lineage and for my ancestors, it's such a heavy word that did so much damage.
Yeah.
That I have a difficult time adopting it, if that makes sense. I'll use it as a hashtag so y'all can find me, but it's not one that I wouldn't put that word on a business card for myself. And that's okay. That's what I'm trying to get to. It's okay not to be comfortable with certain words that are used within the spiritual community. That's the point of the history lesson.
It's hard. I mean, it's certainly a word that has required a lot of reclamation, I guess, is probably the most accurate. So I have my bookshelf behind me. For those of you who are super booky and nerdy, I highly recommend Witches, Midwives, and Nurses, and it is actually a lot. This one is more in the, I guess, the European, for those of us of European descent. I mean, this focuses a lot on, like, Celtic background, but yes, there is a history within matriarchal societies, within cultures who have had women healers, and the damage that has been done by a exclusively male-centric, generally sort of focused on one religion. I mean, there's a lot to be discussed, which we're not going into now because this is super positive. However, I understand.
No, there's layers to this.
Exactly. I mean, this has so many layers to it. And again, this goes back to what we talked about earlier. I am very privileged at this moment to be in a loving partnership, in a supportive community, in a welcoming and inclusive country, in which, again, not everyone is going to be okay with the fact that I self-label as a witch. Yeah. Not everyone is going to be okay with the, you know, with me in my backyard talking to the spiders or whatever. But it is a privilege to be able to even use that term in a way that is positive and in a reclaimed kind of space. So yes, put a pin in that. We'll chat about that in a future podcast. However, it is interesting when you think about sort of trying to explain yourself to other people, because labels can be wonderful and descriptive, but they can also be so limiting. I mean, like you were saying, Michelle, it's like, well, I am, but I also don't want to be associated with the negative aspects of that term. And then I also, but yes, this, you know, so it's, oh, you know, and with me, it's like, well, I do more than just talk to the spiders in the backyard. I swear. Like, I don't know. It's, you know, I do, I swear. So
yeah, it's, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, so, I mean, but you actually have literal business cards. I mean, so how did you distill everything that you are and everything that you do into this little piece of, like, here, this is, you know, like.
This is who I am. Thank you. It took me a long time to get that business card, by the way, and I still feel like I should change it, right? But for my business, the overall message was crystal healing for overall well-being. I'm like, okay, that is a message. Like, that is my end goal, is to help you heal mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in turn that will help you feel heal sometimes, not all the time, because trust that a piece of quartz is not going to heal a broken leg physically. So the term crystal reiki master is a pretty easy term, because that is, that's my certification. I have my certificate in, and I'm a master, and I could teach people. I can do Reiki, like, I have that master level. So that's a pretty easy title. The other title that I usually adopt is just crystal healer. And healer is also a heavy word.
Yep.
Not because I am not a doctor. I will never tell you I can cure you, because there's also this assumption that, oh, you are a healer, you are going to cure me completely. Like, you go to the doctor, then the doctor gives you medicine, or the doctor tells you this is what's wrong, this is how you fix it. Because I will probably just do 10% of the work, and the client needs to come up with the other 90%. There's nothing that is given. I can tell you, hey, Rachel, I feel like your throat chakra might be blocked. I can send you some Reiki. Here's a list of other things that you need to get accomplished. And here's a list of things that you probably need to do in order for you to stop getting sore throats on the daily. So if I can't give you the medicine. You have to do the work. And that's a big part of my business is, well, yes, I can touch strong. You need to get your ass in gear.
Yeah.
Sorry for the ASS word. And a lot of people are, especially now where everything is such a quick fix, and in the community, this inclination to just go from healer to shaman to witch to Reiki master, and you just start jumping to people or to guru. That's another big word that I cringe sometimes at, because everybody labels themselves. It's like that word influencer. I'm an IG influencer. Yeah. It's like, you can't call yourself a good. Okay. Well, that's a whole nother conversation, right?
Right, right.
So you can't, people start adopting these labels, and this is a word of warning, listeners, anybody can adopt the label. Anybody could say, I'm a guru, I'm a healer, yeah, I'm a shaman, and then just completely annihilate your ability to follow your intuition. They might have their pretty Instagram, they might have their pretty page, but they are not doing the work. They are just hanging on to a trend, I guess, because there's a big movement towards holistic healing. There's a big movement to energy healing, and I'm so excited about that.
Yes.
But yeah, sometimes these places hook on to a trend. What is the what was that, Sephora, when they came out with
the witch kit that had I think there were, yes, the witch kit with non ethically sourced white sage, first of all, some sort of was, and then I think some like essential oils, like in little roller things, and then like a tarot deck. Again, forget appropriating things that, you know, it's not that things are not there for us to try on. The world is a buffet, yes, certainly. However, but to capitalize on it in such a callous way, and to take that title and just to pink wash it, and you know, as though it were again just something, you know. I mean Michelle and I love makeup, believe you me. I mean, one of the when Michelle and I were still physically together, I mean, one of our favorite things to do was just literally like go to Sephora and smear each other with like various glittery eyeshadows. Basically,
yes, swatches on the arm.
they used to ask if we were sisters, and Michelle would say, "Well, soul sisters." Like,
yeah, thank you for noticing.
Thank you for noticing. Yeah, but it is, you know, it's, oh my gosh, we're coming to the end. We didn't even get to talk about how amazing it is when you put yourself out there and find your people, because it is. And the people, the people that fall away, even if they were someone very close to you, even if it was your dad or pastor or best friend, I mean, whatever the title is, I'm not going to say it's not hard, but what you gain, what comes in, you know, like, let, you know, nature abhors a vacuum, right? Like, so there's a space left, but what fills it in is just so much more filling. I mean, in a kind of like, I was going to say like three-dimensional sense, it's, you know, and not only that, but I would rather have one or two friends or beings or spirits with whom I can be utterly myself than be in a coliseum full of people and not feel connected with any of them. I mean, that to me is, what's the quote?
That's a good description.
Yeah. Was it Robin Williams, who, a fellow person who was diagnosed with depression. Lots of us in the community. And anyway, but I think Robin Williams, I believe it was him, apologies if it wasn't, but something about like being in a room full of people and just being so lonely. Shoot, I will look that up. But yeah, it's that's lonely, is being surrounded by people and not being connected. That's what's lonely.
I think that once you start putting your who you are and your truth out there, and you start putting it out into the universe and being authentic to who you are at whatever level that is, then you start calling in those friends, that tribe, that person that can help you on your spiritual journey. Sometimes your family comes around. I mean, it's not a, you know, you're not ending it forever. A lot of the times they do come around and they'll start asking you a question, and maybe you'll be that inspiration in that person's journey. And then you'll be able to inspire authentic beings. How much better would the world be if we just knew who we are and we're there to help others, because that is what's going to come out of this, and because you're helping yourself. How much better would this planet be in?
Yeah.
All right. So I think we are going to wrap this up.
I think that's
up.
It. It's done.
Thank you. This was I feel like this was almost, could almost be a two-parter. Maybe we'll revisit the topic later on. But as always, thank you for listening to the Spilling the Tea Leaves podcast. My name is Michelle.
And I'm Rachel. And we just really appreciate you walking with us on the journey.
Yeah. We will be back soon with our third podcast. And wherever you are listening to us, whether it be Spotify, CastBox, TinyBox, and hopefully soon Apple Podcasts, or if you're watching us on YouTube, pardon the hair, just leave us a comment, give us a like, and you'd be helping us a lot by sharing sharing the podcast, leaving us a comment, or tell us how what you would like to see. You can email us at spillingthetealeaves@gmail.com. Share us on Facebook, on Instagram. Give us a follow. Tell us how gorgeous we are, how funny we are. All the good stuff we want to hear. Thank you. Rachel's lipstick is, I'm completely jealous. I feel so underwhelming right now. But yes, thank you for listening to us. And we will see you on the next podcast. Love and lights, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.